Thanks for joining us for another Lancaster Baptist podcast. We believe the Word of God is the infallible, eternal truth that is needed in this generation. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the Word, be instant in season and out of season." It's my prayer that the doctrinal encouragement of today's message will be a great blessing in your life. Thanks again for taking time to join with us.
Town of Bethlehem and the great event that took place there for your sins and mine were redeemed because Jesus Christ came down and was born of the Virgin Mary. Doesn't the auditorium look beautiful tonight? And all of the lights and the music reminds us of what this season is really all about. And of course, there are a lot of surprises and a lot of things that take place at this busy season. Sometimes we get caught a little bit off guard. I heard about a boy that ran into his mother's kitchen and he was out of breath. His mouth was wide open. He had a big box in his hands. And he said, "Mother, we better tell Santa Claus to forget about the train set I ordered. I just found one on the top shelf of Dad's closet." And all kinds of things like that happen during this time of year, don't they? We try to keep surprises. We try to keep them secret. But sometimes they're uncovered. And I'll tell you what, one thing at Lancaster Baptist Church that we don't want to keep a secret is that God became man and dwelt among us, and that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. And even those who reject and scoff His name take pause tomorrow, and they recognize, whether they believe or not, that there are still millions and millions of people who believe that God took the form of a man and came to this world that we might be saved. And I'm so glad to tell you tonight that the star still shines and that the light is still bright because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. You know, the first time we ever read about Jesus Christ in the likeness of a star or pictured as the light is in Numbers. The Bible says, "I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Seth." We learn in the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the star that would come forth to lighten the entire world. And tonight, I want to just take a few moments with you and consider the brightness of His glory from our text, Matthew chapter 2. I want you to know tonight that even as millions in years past have looked to Jesus Christ and have followed His light and His illumination, so tonight every one of us would be wise to do the same thing. As we open the Bible to Matthew chapter 2, we see in the very first place a guiding star. The Bible tells us in verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These wise men who came from the east came to see the Lord Jesus Christ. No doubt you've seen the little bumper sticker that says, "Wise men still seek him." And as they followed the star, it was more than the star, for we see in the Scriptures that there were two forms of revelation given to these wise men. The first form of revelation we might refer to as general revelation. We see a picture of that in the Scripture, Psalm 19 and verse 1, which says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And here we see that God, in His general revelation of nature and creation, specifically with this star, was guiding these men from the east. God used a natural phenomenon to attract their attention and draw their attention to His Savior. God gave them a special sign, a miraculous star that guided them to the King and guided them to Jerusalem, where the prophets of God then could further expound to them the truth of God. And that leads us to the second kind of revelation they were following. I believe they were following not only the general revelation of that star, but I believe they were following the special revelation of the Scriptures. I believe they had knowledge from the prophets concerning what would take place there in Bethlehem. The Bible says in 1 Peter that we have received this prophecy from holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And whether it be the Old Testament prophets or the New Testament epistles, the prophecy that we have in our hand tonight is the unveiling of the secret things of God spoken of in Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. Those secret things that belong only unto the Lord have been revealed to us in the Scripture. And that guiding star was leading the wise men that night to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Their direction came from God Himself. I don't know who you're following tonight. I don't know what your philosophies of life are. Many people follow their gut feeling, their intuition. Some people take the easy route out and they say, well, all paths lead to heaven. Just pick one and you'll get there sooner or later. But the fact of the matter is that wise men will look around and see the general revelation and realize, you know what? This world didn't happen by accident, like they say. It wasn't created, or it didn't come into existence, rather, by a big bang, an accidental situation. General revelation tells us there is a God of order who has brought this universe into existence. And men who would think of that will be guided to that God of order, but then will be guided by the Scriptures themselves, as the wise men were. Their direction came from God. But then I want you to see the devotion of the wise men. They weren't just following the star, following the Scripture, but they were doing it with a heart of devotion. The Bible tells us in verse number 2, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." These magi, knowing the promises of Messiah, knowing about the promise concerning the coming King of Israel, were men who not only followed the general and special revelation that they had received, but they were men who had a heart of devotion for the King of Kings. They were come to worship Him. The word worship implies the condition of one's heart, the humility of their hearts. Though they were wise men, though they were affluent men, yet they came to humble themselves there in Bethlehem's manger. The word worship means to prostrate oneself, to come in adoration. And I don't know why it is, but so oftentimes it seems as though the busier we get in life, the less worshipful we become. The prophet said, "Be still and know that I am God." If you're like me, sometimes it's hard to be still. Sometimes we're running from appointment to appointment. And I think that's why a night like tonight is such a blessing to me. And I'm just so glad you're here. Because tonight, we really do push aside from the baking and the wrapping and all of the other stuff. And for just a few moments, we're here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To really ponder who He is, how He came, what love He gave, and to realize the words of the Apostle Paul when he said, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift." And tonight, with the spirit of those wise men, we're here to worship. Christian author Jill Briscoe said, "We can worry or we can worship." Strangely enough, busy people find it a whole lot easier to worry than to worship. It seems like the busier we are and the more organized we are and the more schedule-orientated we are, we tend to want to take things into our own hands and try to figure it all out on our own. And yet what we need more than a new organizer for the new year, and what we need more than another meeting on our agenda, is a meeting with God. Times carved out of our busy schedule to worship Him. Wise men still seek Him. I want to encourage you, don't let the frustrations that might come up the next few hours even disturb you from your focus that you can gain tonight on the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to let this guidance of the Lord's Word keep you focused on who He is and why He came. Some of you parents are going to have some challenges even tonight. Some of you are going to go home and you're going to get to that box, that gift you purchased for your children maybe a few weeks ago, and you're going to see some terrible, terrible words on the top. The words are going to say, "Some assembly required." And all of a sudden, that worshipful feeling you had when the ensemble was singing and the bells were ringing and the Bible was open, all of a sudden, the devil's going to try to zap that from you. And if you're like me, you have spent a few nights putting bicycles together on Christmas Eve. It reminds me of the story about a dad who ordered a treehouse for his children one Christmas year. He was excited to get that treehouse, and boy, he had it in his garage. He had all the parts laid out. He had the instructions there. He was ready to go. And then he discovered that the instructions he had were not for a treehouse. They were for a sailboat. Oh, he got mad. He sent off an email to the manufacturer, and a few days later, he got this reply. "We are truly sorry for the error and the inconvenience. However, it might help to consider the possibility that somewhere there is a man out on a lake trying to sail your treehouse." Now, the fact is that those wise men were following the Lord. They had a heart to worship the Lord. They were focused on Him. And we see in the scripture that they came to Him with hearts that were focused 100% on just honoring the Lord for who He was and worshiping Him with their hearts. And I just commend you for doing that tonight. And I want to encourage you to keep that spirit right all the way through tomorrow and right in to your new year. A guiding star. But I want you to see quickly with me tonight, a godless leader. A godless leader. Someone says, "Pastor, you're going to be political on Christmas Eve?" No, we're just going to be biblical for a moment. What does the Bible tell us? Let's see what the Bible says about this moment in world history. Verse 3. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet.'" Herod, sometimes called Herod the Great, ruled for 37 years in Judea. He was a cruel leader. He was a leader who hated Christianity, even from its inception. He was a ruler who was the one who pushed back at the request of the Jews, and one who, from the moment he heard about this coming of a Messiah, had a terrible, terrible response. And I want you to see, first of all, this godless leader was disturbed about Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse number 4 that he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Verse 3 says he was troubled with the news. The word "trouble" in that verse number 3 means agitated. It really bothered him. Have you ever noticed that some people don't know how to handle Christmas? I mean, it really troubles them. It really agitates them. They sometimes try to say Merry, but they don't want to say it. And then sometimes a Happy Holidays, or sometimes nothing at all. Some folks just seem to get troubled with the very name of Christ. And we live in a society that has attorneys and non-believers and folks from different backgrounds doing everything they can to erase the name of Jesus, to remove the name of Jesus, somehow to cover the name of Jesus Christ. His name is troubling to them. And sometimes it troubles us that it troubles them. But let me just historically take a moment to tell you that His name has brought great peace to people for over 2,000 years, and His name has troubled people for over 2,000 years. And there may be some people here tonight. Maybe you're here as a guest. Maybe you're here with a friend or relative. And maybe you're okay with that name. Maybe you're just kind of troubled by sitting here listening to a Baptist preacher preach about that name. But I want to tell you something. When you really know who Jesus is and what He did, and by faith receive Him as your Savior, it's no trouble at all to worship Jesus Christ. But to an unbeliever, it's a troubling thing. It's an unsettling thought that someone else came to this world to be your Savior and that you can't save yourself. And so Herod was very disturbed at the presence of Jesus Christ. And then we see that Herod was directed. The Bible tells us in verse 5 that these wise men, the priests and scribes, said in verse number 5, "He is in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written in the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Here the high priest and the leaders religiously of Jerusalem said to Herod, they will find him. These wise men will find this Messiah in Bethlehem. And they quoted Micah 5 in verse 2. And it is true that the scriptures will guide our lives if we truly seek the truth. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. My friends, tonight, if the electricity failed, and it's been doing that this past week around here, and if suddenly there was no electricity in this building, I think it would be fairly safe to assume we could take these candles and distribute them across the congregation tonight, and we could safely find our way out because the light of the candle would guide us. And I'm so glad to say to you that the Word of God is a guiding light for all who will follow it. And so they said, where is this Messiah, this godless leader who was so disturbed, he received direction. And I thank God for the preached word and for the direction that comes from it. But just receiving direction doesn't mean people follow directions. There are a lot of people who've been told that we're all sinners and that Jesus came to be a Savior. They've been announcing that since the first Christmas morning. But just because directions have been given for more than 2,000 years doesn't mean this world takes them very well. A lot of men are haughty and proud, and they think religion is just for the weak, you know. And they don't want to follow the direction. And that is exactly what this godless leader, Herod, was like. He heard who Jesus was and where Jesus was. But notice what it says in verse number 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. I want you to know that Herod was a very deceptive man. He didn't have any intention of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. What exquisite hypocrisy is seen in this man. His intention was to kill the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks of this when it says in verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced. But notice in verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. You see, the godless leader, he heard the message, but he did not truly intend to believe. If you're here tonight and you're hearing the message of Jesus Christ, that he was the virgin-born Son of God, that he lived a perfectly sinless life, unlike you and unlike me, and that the babe in the manger one day, as the God-man, suffered on a cross and bled and died for our sin. And if you're hearing that Jesus is the Savior who offers forgiveness for you, please, friend, tonight, don't be like Herod and act like you're interested, but not really consider who he is. Let me encourage you tonight to truly trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. A guiding star led them. A godless leader was troubled by him. But notice, if you would, thirdly tonight, a glorious manifestation. As we close tonight, I want you to see this. In verse number 8, it says, and they heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh, symbolizing the three offices of Christ, prophet, priest, and king. Here we see a glorious manifestation. Notice, at first we see the appearance of that star again. And what a glorious appearance it was. And it brought rejoicing in verse 10. They were thrilled to know that the star was still there, leading them toward Bethlehem. But then we see not only the appearance of the star, we see the adoration of the Savior. For the Bible says that when they were come into the house, just imagine that. Imagine those wise men coming now as Jesus Christ had been born, and as they had received the news and had been traveling now, they come into this place having followed the general revelation, having followed the specific revelation of the scripture, knowing the risk, no doubt, because of Herod's threats. Still, they come into the place where Jesus Christ was. And the Bible says that when they saw him, they fell down and worshiped him. With all due respect, you'll notice in the text, it says, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. They did not worship Mary. They did not worship the house. Friends, we're not here tonight to worship this church. We're not here tonight to worship saints. We're not here tonight to worship really good people. We are here tonight to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. They worshiped Him because God had become man and humbled Himself in such a way. He brings salvation. Listen tonight. The light brought rejoicing. The star was exciting. But Jesus brought salvation. And He alone can save us from our sin. John 1 and verse 6 says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men might through him believe. He, John, was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light." You see, friends, tonight the light that is still shining is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the light of the world. Earlier today, my wife and I made our way to Walmart. And this is Christmas Eve. What would Christmas Eve be without a trip over to Walmart? Did you know that there's McDonald's in Walmart? Some of you ladies knew that, didn't you? I did not really realize. Nice McDonald's. Went in, got a cup of coffee, got the little cart to push around. It was sort of like going on church visitation is what it really was, to be honest with you. We met a lot of other folks, maybe some were here tonight that we invited today at Walmart. We just had a wonderful time getting some last-minute food and a few other things we probably didn't need and just being together. But you know, as I saw people throughout that store purchasing gifts. And by the way, my wife almost did not go to the sporting goods section. How many of you men understand? You don't go to Walmart and not go to the sporting goods section. And so we made it over to the sporting goods section, made sure everything was there. And bought some ammo just because. That's another message. But anyways, it's Christmas, you know, and I just felt like we'd do that. And so we were having fun and we were watching people as they were purchasing their gifts. And I mean, and they were loaded up. Folks had all kinds of stuff walking around with radio stuff and, you know, electronics and sporting goods stuff. And as I saw them purchasing their gifts, I couldn't help but wonder, one by one by one, I wonder if they have the unspeakable gift. They've got those gifts, but I wonder if they have the unspeakable gift, the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, tonight, most of us, our tradition would call for the fact that tonight we're going to place some presents under a tree. But God placed His on a tree. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, don't get me wrong. I hope you have a present under the tree. And if you really honestly don't, let me know. We'll get something for you. But more than all of that, we want to tell you about the present that was placed on a tree. And His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. And He came in order that we might have the forgiveness of our sin. The Bible says the wages of our sin is death. But the gift, that means it's already paid for. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Maybe tonight, like the wise men, someone here needs to just go outside tonight and look at the stars and figure out that there seems to be some order to this thing called the world we live in or the universe around us. And just generally speaking, consider the fact it's not an accident, but it is God's work. And maybe beyond that general revelation, you'll listen to what the Bible says tonight, specifically, specially for you. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given, a son is given." Tonight, maybe there's someone here that needs to let that sink in and permeate your heart, to the point that you realize God's gift of salvation is available if you would receive it by faith tonight. And then I suppose tonight, and I don't know that I fully understand this, but I suppose that all over America and in this auditorium here tonight, there are people who know this story, who could recite the verses as well or better than I could, But something is in their heart keeping them from having an intimate, close walk with God tonight. And sometimes it baffles me what those things are. Sometimes it's just someone got frustrated and hasn't let it go. Sometimes it's just sin and living outside the boundaries of the Word of God. Sometimes it's a bad trial that has come upon your life and maybe you're questioning the Lord. But I just want to encourage you tonight. Jesus is just as wonderful as when you first met Him. In fact, He's more than wonderful. And I want to encourage you, if you know Christ as your Savior, draw nigh to God tonight. And He will draw nigh to you. Lay those burdens aside. And like those three wise men, come to Him with a heart of worship. And give Him your life. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, 1 and 2 tell us, present our bodies a living sacrifice unto Him. And say tonight, Lord, here's my life. It's Your birthday. I give You my life, Lord. Take me and use me for Your honor and Your glory. May God help us tonight to follow the star that's still shining, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Once again, I want to thank you for joining with us for today's message. Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. Anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.